special blessing and greeting to each one this morning. It's good to see the house well filled, a special welcome to the visitors. And I trust that you can worship with us. My thoughts this morning are just a continuation of the meditations today. Brother Glendon's devotions this morning, the Sunday school lesson. I didn't realize it was going to fit so well together. But my mind was drawn, I'd like to pick up where Brother Glendon left off. And he said, the leadership of tomorrow's church comes from this congregation. Something to that effect. And my mind has been pondering. I've been thinking about that we are looking for an ordination in this church. We're looking for more leadership. That's only 2 months away. My mind has been on that. And thinking about the changes that might come along with that. Good changes. And how sometimes that disrupts people's feelings. And they wonder, we don't like change. But change is a good thing, and I'm looking forward to that. And I trust that you are praying about that need. And I want you just to bring that again to your minds. To continue to pray about the leadership needs in our congregation. This church needs more preachers. This church needs more ministers of the gospel. And so I simply have a question for you. I'm not necessarily preaching on that this morning, or maybe it could be taken that way. But what makes a good leader? And I wonder where your mind goes when I ask that question. What makes a good leader? That's my title, What Makes a Good Leader. Maybe I should say, what makes a godly leader? But we're going to clarify that as we go along. So what makes a good leader? What is a leader? Right away, my mind probably thinks, because I was thinking about minister ordinations, I begin to think about church leaders. But a leader is such a general term that I believe most of you here this morning are leaders in some way. As fathers, this side of the house. If you're a father, you're a head of your home. We had that in our Sunday school lesson, that you are the head, you're the leader. You're the one to give direction. You're a leader. We call ourselves that. But when the husband is in a home, guess who leads the household? It's the wives. If you're a mother, you are a leader of your family. Under your husband, but you provide leadership when your husband isn't there. Parents together. Sometimes we'll give children leadership positions. I'll simply say something like this. We're going to town, and son, daughter, you're responsible. Keep the household running while we're gone. Maybe teenagers, you know what that's like. Mom and dad are gone, you're in charge until they get back. Just a little bit of what a leader would be like. There are school children here this morning, and you may not think you're leaders, but I understand you have group leaders. So if you're one of those older school children and they consider you a group leader, there are children under you, and you are responsible to make them behave. You're a leader in a very small way. Leaders are responsible. And I'm just thinking about, there's so many leaders here this morning, school teachers. You are a leader in a real way. My question is, what makes a good leader? The song leader this morning did an excellent job. He led this congregation. He was a leader. We looked to him for direction. The devotional leader, he took our minds to the scriptures. He guided our thoughts. We have a school board in this congregation, and it is directed by the chairman. The chairman is the leader of that committee. Ultimately, maybe the school board members have some leadership in the schools, but it all funnels back to the chairman. He gives direction. We have a library committee. There's a brother here that's responsible for that library committee. He's the leader of it. He gives direction. He says which way it's going to go. Ultimately, we come to church leaders. And that's probably where your mind went first. How church leaders tend to give direction. They do give direction to the church. We have deacons, ministers, bishops. In our businesses, we're leaders. You give direction to your employees. Employees, you may be a job foreman or something like that, and you have a response. There are, to be a leader, life is just, most of us here are some point in some way, we are a leader. In the world that we live, we have officials, local, state, and we just went through the national election where we have a presidential election, and he is the leader of our country. And everything funnels down from that. Old people can be leaders, young people can be leaders. Men can be leaders, but also women can be leaders. Right or wrong, the world that we live in gets it all mixed up, but I just want you to be thinking about what makes a good leader. Some people are just naturally born leaders. They just walk into a group and take over, and everybody just listens to them. You ever notice how that happens? Personality has a lot to do with leaders. Scientifically, you look up to a tall person. So if you're an extra tall person, you, without realizing it, you become a leader. Short people tend to ignore you. I'm sorry. That was an interesting study that I done. I Googled, just to see what Google would say, you know, who was very influential leaders of our day. And I was amazed to see that Jesus Christ was number one. I didn't think Google would give that to me. I was blessed. How Jesus was an excellent leader, and he changed the course of history. Throughout all of ages, a tremendous leader. I could give you names like Alexander the Great. In your mind, I don't know if you enjoy history, but you, if you know much about him, how he changed the course of history because he was the great leader that he was. Winston Churchill, Rosa Parks. You know who Rosa Parks was? She was a lady that would, a lady of color, and she would not get up off her bus seat to let a white person sit down. She changed history. We would say she was a leader of women's rights. She was an activist. I wouldn't even say she was a good leader. It wasn't a godly trait at all. But she was an independent person, and she said, I will not get up. Rosa Parks. Albert Einstein. Benjamin Franklin. Thomas Edison. You think about these people that maybe we say, well, the great people, but they were the leaders in their day. And they changed the course of history. What makes a good leader? Can you answer that in your mind? What makes a good leader? Just because someone is a leader doesn't make us a right kind of leader. There are so many leaders that I just mentioned. They're leaders, but they're not the type of leaders that I want you to be this morning. They're not the type of leaders that God would have you to be this morning. They're selfish. They're proud. It's all about how will life benefit me. There are tremendous leaders, leaders of today that you make up the news, and it's all about push the people down, raise myself up. Make a profit, cut everyone else out of it, clawing their way to the top. And every one of us have that kind of a nature. That's our carnal nature, to push everyone else down, to raise ourselves up because we want to be somebody. We want to look at that this morning. What makes a good leader? And I'd like to simply go to Genesis 18. It talks about God looking at a man, and his name was Abraham. And he says, I know this man. I know what kind of leader he's going to be. And I was just challenged with that thought, that God is looking into every one of our hearts, into our lives, and he says, I know this brother. When I'm thinking about leadership for this congregation, he's looking into your hearts, and he's saying, there's a brother here, and I know him. And I know that he will do well. And may God say that about all of our lives. Genesis 18, chapter 18, verse 17. It says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that which I do? He was going to destroy Sodom. That was such a evil world. And you know the story, how Abraham had friends there. Lot was there. He said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. I just warms my heart. God would say that testimony about a child of his. I know this person. I know this brother. I know this sister. The sermon this morning isn't about just men. It's all of us here. That in some way we are leaders. women or men. I know him. And he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. He says, I know this man. And I know the choices he's going to make, and I know the way that he's going to raise up his family. I know Abraham. And I know that he's going to provide the leadership. He's going to be a wonderful leader. And we know how God provided blessings for Abraham. But it was because that he was willing to stand for what was right. You look at Abraham's life, and the culture around him was going wrong. And Abraham stood for right and for truth. God wants that from our lives. He wants a man, a lady, that stands for truth. And God will be able to look into our lives and say, I know you. I know that brother. I know that sister. I know their family. It's a strong family unit. I can bless them. And they're going to be a huge benefit in my kingdom. God wants to change our lives from a self-centered leader, that the people that I mentioned earlier, they're self-centered. God wants to take individuals like that and change them and renew them, transform their lives so that they can become a blessing to others. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, very familiar verse. First Corinthians 11, verse 1, just simply says this, be ye followers of me. Isn't a leader someone that gives direction, someone that you follow this morning? Brother Andy led singing, and so he was the leader. And as he moved his hands around, you followed him. He started the song you sang. When he said stop, you stopped. In essence, Brother Andy could say, follow me this morning. I'm going to show you how to lead this song. The Apostle Paul was saying the same thing. He said, follow me. He didn't stop there. He says, follow me even as I also am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example, and a wonderful leader will do that. Fathers in the home, you can look at your family, your wives, your children, and say, follow me, because I follow Christ. Moms, wives, you can say, follow me, because I follow Christ. To your children, your example, it's one and the same. Follow my example. What a powerful testimony. And you look at the apostle's life. It wasn't perfect. He had a lot of things to be ashamed of. He could look back in his life and say, well, children, I made a lot of mistakes in my day. There was a time in my life where I was an angry person. There was a time in my life where I tortured people. There was a time in my life where I killed a man. I feel terrible about that. But follow me in my transformed way, because God has got a hold of my life. He changed me. And I want to show that to you. Just follow me, and I'll show you how to follow Christ. That is a true leader. One that can stand up and say, follow me because I follow Christ. Paul was the one that taught them Christ. He was the one that brought them to Christ. He was the one that baptized them. He was their spiritual leader. He was the one that walked beside them. And it only made sense that he would say, follow me as I follow Christ. He was their shepherd. Brother Glennon talked about the shepherds this morning. And you know, sheep love their shepherds. They know their shepherds. They like their shepherd because the shepherd takes care of them. I was just impressed with that idea yesterday. I was down with the two sheep that we have, and feeding them some hay, and they love hay. And they wouldn't leave me. They just wanted to be there because I had good food for them, and they just couldn't get enough of it. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the way that we follow our heavenly shepherd? We just want to be there with him because he has all the good things that we ever need. Paul was a leader, and he was a good leader. Jesus Christ, though, was our ultimate leader. He's that perfect example. And I want to look at just several verses to talk about how, even though he was a leader, He had hard things that he faced in life. Let's look at Philippians 2. Turn with me there. Philippians 2, 5, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We have Jesus, the ultimate leader, and yet he humbled himself. Stands in such stark contrast to the great leaders of today. They are somebody, they think they are somebody, and that humbleness is missing so much in their life. Here we have Jesus, who was the God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And he came down to this old earth and he dwelt among men. Such, he learned humility. Go over to Hebrews 2. He learned subjection through his obedience. Talks about his suffering that he went through. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He learned what it was like to suffer and to die in this old sin-cursed earth. He learned humility through suffering. And that makes an understanding leader. And I believe the more a leader becomes a great leader, the more they need to understand submission, humility, and obedience to God. Only then is a man ready to be a leader. So what makes a good leader? I have several points, practical points, I just simply want to look at. What makes a good man a leader? What makes a woman a good, godly leader in her place? What makes youth a good leader? Is it how eloquent a man can speak? They tell me that Hitler was a great orator. He could move crowds. He was a very popular man. Did that make Hitler a great leader? I'd like to look at several points, and the first one is we need a godly leader. We're switching now from a good leader to a godly leader. A godly leader loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, and mind. And that's found in Mark 12. I'd like to read those verses. Mark 12. We'll start reading at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It's the first and ultimate choice and decision that you must make to be a good, godly leader. You can be a leader, but you won't be a godly leader until you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is taken out of Deuteronomy 6. That's Old Testament teaching where God was teaching his people the way to live. I'm going to go there, Deuteronomy 6. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Here we go back to Abraham, the man that taught his children, the man that practiced this. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God have brought thee into the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and are full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And he goes on and says, when life is good, beware. And somehow it just sounds like America where we live in. It talks about all the good things, the great and goodly cities of Chambersburg, Hagerstown, and Greencastle. Houses full of good things. We say there's no place like home. We have everything we need there. Soft beds, comfortable, well-stocked freezers, lots of food. Beware lest we forget God. So the point was is that we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, but we have a verse that says, beware lest ye forget God. Now, why would you forget something? Why do we forget something? It shows the importance we put upon it. None of us here forgot the day when we were to be married. We look forward so much that we could probably say, well, there's, you know, I've got 28 days and 6 hours left. We were counting it down. We would never forget May 15. Never. I was ready for that day. We prepared for it. We planned. Life just evolved around the day I was to get married because I put so much emphasis on it. Do we have so much emphasis placed on the Lord our God that we would never forget him? But this scripture says beware. And when there's a beware, it means pay attention. There's a danger ahead. If I said beware of that dog that's in the office over here, if there was a big sign that said beware of dog, and maybe you even heard him barking, you probably wouldn't go in there. Because you are beware of the dog. It might hurt. There's a warning in the scripture. It says, beware of the dog. Beware you're going to forget God. It's going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you. We do well to take notice. We do well to do things. Take action. We learned in Sunday school this morning that we're going to have to take some action if we want to change as men. What are you going to do? Men, women, that we don't forget the Lord our God. God has done so much for us. Maybe I had a good friend that would write a scripture verse on a post-it note, and he would stick it on his dash of his car. And that was one way. As he drove down the road, he would look at that post-it note, and he would think about that verse for the day. I believe these little things are ways that we can remind ourselves of God. In the Old Testament here, the verses we read talked about how you were supposed to write it between on your forehead. They had their own ways of putting their scriptures on the doorpost of the house. You'd open up their little, it was a little glass tube, and in that would be a special scripture verse wrote. But we can have our own special ways of remembering God's word. Write that special verse down. Put it on a scripture, post-it note. Put it in your lunch pail. Maybe you should put an alert in your phone at 10 o'clock every day to stop and to think about God. We hang mottos in our home, and that's a good thing. That as we're going about our day, we stop and we think about who who God is. We need to do those things to keep our love alive for God so that we do not forget God. We're talking about a good leader. We're talking about a godly leader. A godly leader is one that loves the Lord, his God, with all his heart, all his soul, and with all his mind. We could look at the verse in Philippians 3:7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Again, it's the importance that we put on Jesus. What are we going to count for loss? How much emphasis do we love the Lord so much that other things, what do we count for loss in our life so that we can love God more? Along with this point, I put a true love for God and for his wife and for her husband, and not just on February 14th. That's next week on Sunday. And I get a little irritable of the fake love that's in this world, of people that have to show their wife that they love her, or the wife that you love your husband, because it's February 14th. Because it's Valentine's Day. Husbands, you can love your wife 365 days of the year, and not just on February 14th. And wives, the same. There's ways to show appreciation. I'm all for showing appreciation for your wife. You should. You should buy your wife flowers. We're talking about true love. But is February 14th really a day to show your wife true love? A godly leader. We're going to move on. Point number two is he has a renewed mind. And I'm over in Romans 12. I'd preached quite a few sermons out of Romans 12. Just turn with me there. There's many a great leader, but there's only the greatest leaders have a renewed mind. Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you'll remember how we talked about how we have God's kingdom on one side and we have Satan's kingdom on this side. And which side are we looking? Where is our focus? Are we in God's camp looking toward the kingdom of this world and just wishing for all the things that it has to offer? Or are we standing in this old earthly kingdom and we have our eyes focused on God and we're saying, God, I want to walk toward you. God, I want to be more like you. Be not conformed to this world. This world is just wanting our attention. You remember the illustration of my dog, how he wanted the old barn so bad. All the sights and the smells down there just drove him to go. And he went. And the master was calling him to come back. But he was focused on this world. And he went down there. And the world got him. The world put him in a pen. And he stayed down there. And he spent a night in the barn. And oh, how he wanted the comforts of the Father's house. The food that the Father had. The warmth that the Father had. A great godly leader has a transformed mind, a renewed mind that is done with this old earthly, worldly kingdom, that has their mind focused on God and his kingdom. A godly leader, number three, stands firm and true. Stands firm and true. I'm in Ephesians 6. Stand therefore. Get your feet solid. And you look around your friends. People that are hankering for the things of this world. They're not standing there. They're not firm. They're not rooted and grounded in God's kingdom. They're hankering for the pleasures of sin. They slip. They fall. Hopefully they get back up and they get their renewed mind. But occasionally they just keep slipping and falling and they get bound Because they are not standing firm, they're not standing true. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and have on all the things that God has for you. God has everything you need to live victorious, but we have to want it. We have to want to put it on. Stand firm and true. Not like my neighbor shrubs. I think I gave this illustration before. But I had a tremendous windstorm that ripped through my house about 3 years ago, and blew all my neighbor's shrubs over. They were big green shrubs, maybe stood 10, 12 feet tall. And it was a hedge around his house, evergreens. And when one shrub went over, they all went over. And it exposed their roots, and the roots was all intermingled. And I've kind of suddenly thought about, you know, I can have my roots into my friends. If I'm not anchored in God, if I'm not anchored in this world, in God's word. If we're anchored into this worldly system, I'm just going to fall over. When one falls, we all fall. There's no strength there. That's not a godly leader. A godly leader is anchored in God's word. The biblical principles that's there, he knows why he stands there. Are you standing firm? Are you standing true? And this point is for everyone. For men as leaders of the home, but for women as you teach your family, as you support your husbands, and together we build the church. And out of this church body comes leaders for the next years. Stand firm and true. Are you the type of person that, you know, you can get into a debate and you just know where you're going to come out before you ever start? Because you're a firm person and you can go into an argument and you say, well, I knew you were going to be there. It's because you know what you believe. You are standing firm and true. James says the opposite is this. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When I begin to trust my human reasoning, and we all have it, we're unstable. We have to get rid of my human reasoning and go back to God, go back to the principles that's found in God's word, and base my belief systems there. And then I have strength. Human reasoning will not keep me standing firm. The styles of this world, people live for it. People allow the styles to control the way they dress, the way they live, the vehicles they drive, the houses, who knows, everything. Every aspect of your life can be by what other people think. That is not standing firm. That is not standing true. Stand, therefore, in God's word. Number 4, a godly leader is alert to the dangers that's around. They're alert and they're observant. Are you alert spiritually? Are you paying attention to what could destroy your soul? Are you paying attention? Are you observant to the dangers that's going to threaten your family? That's going to threaten your children? And what are you doing about it? I believe a godly leader needs to be alert to the danger. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. We have a man that was a blur. I've been reading through Joshua and thinking about how God has moved mightily on the behalf of his people through new leadership. And we have Joshua being as a tremendous leader, standing up, giving direction, and guiding God's people. And God kept saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to show the world around you that I'm with you. And we can have that promise today. It's not my point, but God can receive the honor and glory from a good leader. But we have Joshua being alert and paying attention. In chapter 5, Joshua 5, verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Here was an enemy. Here was a man. He had a sword. Somebody's going to fight me. He didn't turn and run. He could have said, well, I'm getting out of here. Hopefully he just leaves. He saw this man with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And I can just about imagine Joshua had his own sword drawn. And he was ready to go to battle. He was ready to defend what he knew to be God's people. He wasn't going to allow an enemy to come in. And this man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto a servant? The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. The point that I want, he was alert. He was paying attention to the dangers that was coming at him. We need to do that for our families. We need to do that for our church families. We need to do that for our friends. Whatever age group you are, you need to be alert. If you're serving the Lord this morning, you need to be alert to the dangers that is threatening to take us down. The technology that's around us, we know that's huge. Technology affects every area. The music that we listen to comes through our technology. The video feeds, the things that we watch, our messaging apps, all of these things can affect our lives. It can be a huge benefit too. Are we alert to the dangers that's threatening us? Or are we blind? Isaiah talks about the watchmen are blind. I'll read you the verse. It says, the watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're as dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain, for his quarter. Come, ye say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. That's not an observant, alert leap. That's a leader that's just going along with the crowd and saying everything's going to be good. Life's good today. Life will be good tomorrow. Let us not be that way, but let's be alert. A godly leader, number 5, is teachable and humble. He's teachable and humble. Just because someone is a leader doesn't mean I stand up here and have all the answers. As leaders in your homes, Dad, that doesn't mean you have all the answers. It doesn't mean you're the dictator that has a big stick. That's not a leader. A leader is someone that is teachable, that is humble. I read those verses about Christ. Jesus was the ultimate example. And yet he came to this earth and he learned by experience. He learned through suffering. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A godly leader is teachable and humble. He has a very low, doesn't think of himself high. A godly leader, number 6, is real. He's just real about who he is. In other words, he's not a hypocrite. A leader, every man, every woman, every youth, every person here has faults and failures. And when I began to lift myself up and I began to think I am somebody because I am a leader, I'm going to fall. Be real. Do you think the Apostle Paul, as he went about his teaching activities, decided to do a little drinking on the weekends? Maybe his buddies had him over for a good beer. They partied for the weekend. And then he went out and preached hellfire. Do you think that was the Apostle Paul? We know it wasn't. We know that the Apostle was real about who he was. Do you think the Apostle Paul enjoyed the theater and the plays that were abundant around him? Or maybe the Apostle Paul enjoyed all the nakedness that Rome was known for? No. I can say with confidence that the Apostle Paul is not that kind of person. He was real about who he was. His relationship with God was way too important to live a double standard life. We all want people to think well of us. And so I don't want to admit that I'm tempted. I don't want to admit my failures. I want to just be this great leader. That's our human mindset. A great leader will be humble. They will be real. They will not be a hypocrite. The apostle said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I believe he saw that temptation for to fall into that trap of thinking that he is great. A godly leader is real. All of us have the struggles that we face. Ladies, you face them. Men, we face them. Youth, you have your own set of struggles. But we all are tempted. We all have struggles. And we all have to own up to times when we fall. And we say, I'm sorry. It's not the glowing testimony. I want you to have a testimony. I want you to have a glowing testimony. But a glowing testimony doesn't save a person. It's what you live. I knew a man from my past that would have a glowing testimony on Sunday morning that he lived like the devil at home. He would cuss, he would swear, and this man went to a conservative church. His son gave me a recording of his dad at home yelling at his wife, yelling, but he would have a glowing testimony of God. Brothers, don't do that. Be real. Imagine if your son would record your conversation this past week and post it on social media for the world to hear. What would it sound like? I trust we would not be ashamed. And if we are ashamed, it's time to do something about it now. Don't wait. Let's be real. Let's not be a hypocrite. The same man I observed at work. His son upset him. And in an instant of rage, he just slapped his son across the face. Just wham! It wasn't a little tap. It was left a hand imprint in the side of that young boy's face. And it was, get busy. And the young boy didn't say a word. He just bit his lips, set his jaw, and got busy. What would our sons, what would our daughters say about my actions? The serious truth is Jesus is recording. The recorder is operating. The recorder is turned on. The things that we say, our actions are being recorded and will be played back to us someday. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. It's a test that I individually can take and look at the fruits that's coming out of my life. Is it godly fruits? And that will tell me what kind of a leader I am. A godly leader is a man that is real with his faults and failures. Number 7, a godly leader is a man and a woman of integrity. Maybe that goes hand in hand with, but integrity is just simply being honest. It's a man that you can take him at his word. I was having this conversation just the other week with a brother, and he said, he's not a trustworthy individual. How can it be? You mean a man can be in a godly church and he can't be trustworthy? I trust that you are. I know you are. A man and a woman of integrity. They're honest. Their word is worth something. Their neighbors speak well of them. You can go down to the neighbor and say, you know, what do you think about? Put your name in there. He's a good brother. He loves the Lord. I trust that that's what our neighbors would say about us. And number 8, my last point is this one, is a godly leader is committed for life. We don't jump in and out of the Christian experience for the fun of it. God has put us, when we have given our heart to Him, He has given us the responsibility as a father, as a mother, as youth. I'm going to follow the Lord the rest of my life. I'm not going to stop now. I fought this long, I'm going to keep on fighting. Galatians 6:9 says, brethren, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We haven't achieved yet. The prize isn't here yet. But we have to keep pressing on. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God is doing a work in our life. God is doing a work in this congregation. He is bringing up leaders. Each day as we draw closer to Him and as we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You. Yes, Lord, I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm not giving up. Each day as we say, God, forgive me for my faults. Forgive me for my hypocrisy. And Lord, I want to be real with You. A person of integrity. That'll give this congregation leaders for the future. Leaders that this church family can grow. I'd like to close with 2 Peter 3:8. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let us kneel for prayer.